every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLAACRRMMDRAHAPACGAFAIRSMART.
Or DUMB.
Huh?
Or DUMB.
Well, we speak for DUMB.
Okay.
Or at least I do. See, Shelly's speaking for it right now because she's trying to figure out what DUMB
yes,
is.
Yes, I am.
Dumb.
No, I just realized.
Yeah, dumb.
Okay, never mind.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Awesome. Awesome. So, it's fall.
Fall fell?
Fall has fallen. You know what? Kind of. We live in Southern California, so it's kind of weird because you can't really tell when it's fall here because it'll still be 85 degrees during the day. None of the trees are changing color because they're all evergreens. Or we have a lot of pine trees around here, too, which is kind of weird because this is really a desert, and people have decided to put pine trees in their front lawn.
I was on Fontana trees. The other day, though.
Palm trees.
Fontana?
Fontana?
Yeah.
Isn't there a lot of palm trees out
no,
there?
No, but the graffiti was just changing colors.
Oh, the graffiti was, yeah. There you go. Rialto.
Yeah.
We opened a company I work with opened a mattress store in Rialto one time, and my friend James went there to open it up. And they thought, because of the area, that it'd be a good idea to put security cameras on the place. So they decked the place out with security cameras. And the very first night, all the security cameras that were outside got stolen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. I'm like, hey, Eric, this is probably not a great place to put a store.
Yeah.
James said, yeah. I talked to him one day on the phone. He looks outside and he goes, there's a guy dealing crack right in front of my store to a hooker. And I'm like, oh, you could be in a better neighborhood.
It was a multi-use center.
I said, James, maybe you should rent out the beds to the hookers. That'd be a good idea.
That's right.
That'd be a good idea. So, Shelly, doing anything special this week?
I'm going to water aerobics in the morning at the butt crack of dawn.
Are you going to the blue hair water aerobics?
Your mother does not have blue hair, and I think she would probably resent being called that.
My mother has blonde hair.
Yes, I'm going with your mother. My mom, your mom, our mom, the
my,
mom.
My mom
one
has
of the moms.
She does not have blue hair.
No.
We wouldn't know that. I haven't seen my mom's real hair color in 30 years.
Yeah.
Because my mom is actually a redhead. But she hasn't been a redhead.
I haven't seen your mom being a redhead all the time I've known her.
Yeah. Yeah, in 20-some years, because she used to come when I'd get my cake at Charter years and years and years ago. I haven't seen her be a redhead in a long time. She was kind of Lucille Ball-ish at one time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Oh, my God.
What?
You know what that means?
What?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
You know what? Your guys' dutes are just not as tight as when Mark and I do the dutes.
My dutes are quite tight, thank you very much.
No, your dutes are loose and sloppy.
My dutes are hot.
They're not. I'll pop. You know what?
My dutes are very versatile.
I can't. I can't. When I twerk, I can't slap my dutes.
I can do.
That's just gross.
I can dute with anybody.
That's true. Yeah. Mark's kind of a dute
I'm
ho.
I'm a dute ho.
Dute ho?
I can dute fast. I can dute slow.
Okay.
I've seen this thing on like YouTube where it's like the thing for twerkers that can slap their butt cheeks together. I'm like, wow.
And you would want to do that because?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I really wouldn't, but it's kind of funny to watch, though.
You learned that in prison.
Yeah.
Oh. Ow. Oh, grody mama.
Fortunately, fortunately, have avoided that so far.
Me also.
Anyway, we have shout outs to Brian, Bill, Phil, Donald. That's about it.
No Bill.
Mark Bruce.
Oh, well, okay, Mark Bruce, I suppose.
Oh, see. Mark, who's sitting over here valiantly in the peanut gallery, he's just sitting right there. She's just going to gloss over him.
Didn't I already do Mark's story, or did I not?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I sent a bunch.
Okay. Yeah, and I copied and pasted. Anyway, we're in Houston.
Okay.
Houston.
Guns aplenty.
Yes. A strip club has filed a lawsuit against the strip club's name is Privilege. It's suing James J. Beckman, who works for the CIT Group Incorporated. He's a banker.
Oops. Not anymore. He's not.
Probably not for long. They're suing him for $321,857.72.
Why, Shelley? Why?
Yeah.
Because he ran up that tab in 1 month on his expense account credit card.
Oh, yeah. He guaranteed doesn't work there anymore.
I got a question.
What?
How did he run up that big a bill on a credit card? Like when the girl bends over, he's like slide it between her crack or something?
No. Yeah.
Scan the have card. A reader?
I'm guessing he bought for the whole house.
No,
or something.
No. What he did is he went in and used the ATM inside there. That's how they know it's all from there. He just
scamming money.
Yeah, or just ran a tab at the place.
Well, at any rate,
not that I'd know.
He is claiming. He's claiming that he did not incur those charges, and he is asking the credit card company to remove them because he wasn't there. He was at work.
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah.
The reason that the credit card company is now suing is because this is not the first time he's done this.
Oops.
He apparently did it 1 month a year ago and got all the charges reversed because the credit card company said it was all clustered in one period of time. And apparently he said he was at work. People at work vouched for him.
You know what? You would think that the credit... I had my credit card... somebody tried to charge $5,000 in beauty supplies in Paris. Wells Fargo called me instantly and said, Mr. Burnett, where are you? And I said, I'm in Covina, California. And they go, you're not in Paris, right? And I said, no. And they're like, are you on any websites in Paris? I said, no. And they said, would you have reason to buy $5,000 in beauty supplies? I said, no.
Yes.
I said, well, yeah, I could use it. But, you know, this guy runs up $365,000 and, like, the bank card doesn't call. And say, hey, this is unusual.
Obviously, they weren't unusual charges for him.
You just spend as much as you could have bought a couple of houses here in Houston for that. We had when I worked at Earthlink in Atlanta, Georgia, everyone would go over there and visit the Earthlink facility. And I knew someone that was an accountant, and they started getting a lot of charges that said International Cafe. For, you know, like people would be taking guys out to lunch there. The accountant goes to a bachelor party, which is at the local strip club, and finds out they are billed under the name International Cafe. And about 30 guys lost their jobs.
Wow. Okay, we're moving on. To Louisiana. Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
We had crayfish the other day.
And this is a Wally World story. Walmart.
Oh, always good.
Here we go.
Yes.
Walmart. In Louisiana, it has to be a real kick in the ass.
Is there live chickens running around the floor?
There's nothing running around the floor now.
It's all that's missing.
There is nothing on the shelves. There is nothing, period.
I know. I love this story.
Now, everybody thought...
I love this story.
For some reason, for half the day, and I don't know why, the country thought, oh my gosh, the government shut down. Nobody can get their EBT cards to work. That's not what happened. What happened was Xerox had an infrastructure glitch. Xerox is the company that runs the EBT... the electronics for it, Interlink. They were doing routine maintenance, and they were doing some tests, and it caused a glitch that removed the limits on people's EBT cards. In some states, and in other states, it completely blocked them, so EBT was down. Like in California for a while, it was down.
Saturday.
Wow. Blocked.
Louisiana, and let's see, I think
Kentucky.
Hey,
no spending limit.
There were... Massachusetts, Kentucky, Louisiana, they had no limits.
There were people with 8 and 9 shopping carts.
Yes, coming out of Walmarts.
How'd you like to be the first guy? The first guy. Oh, I went over. Oh, no, you didn't.
Right?
I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Let me go put this stuff in my car. Yeah. I'll be right back. Ring it up. Did I go over? Nope. All right. Let me.
It was.
Where's your electronics section?
No, I don't. You can't buy electronics with EBT cards.
Oh.
So at any rate, people, you had families of four with more grocery carts than they could possibly put the food in their fridge. They wouldn't have been able to fit it all in their fridge. When the melee was over, when the EBT card the limits melee. Were reestablished, and because Walmart decided, they called corporate, Louisiana, the district manager or whatever, called corporate and said, here's our problem.
Something's wrong.
We don't know what these people's limits are. What do we do? And Walmart, to their credit, said, we don't want anyone going hungry. Honor the cards.
Damn.
So they went ahead and took them, and then when it was all over and Xerox had reestablished the limits, the resulting mess took, like, the three Walmarts that were majorly affected a couple of days to clean up because people just abandoned all the crap in the middle of the aisles and the carts because they knew they couldn't get out.
Yeah. Gang, the jig is up.
Yeah.
All right.
So they all left. But, and also
just standing in the electronics section watching the news saying, hey.
Yeah. Now, what do you think is going to happen come the end of the year when they add up how much the $11,000 a year in EBT that was being granted to Joe Blow from Idaho, and all of a sudden he has $26,000 worth of EBT charges?
Oh, no. Those charges, Walmart has agreed with the government. They said, you know what, we'll eat it. They're eating all of it. They're not going to charge. Those EBT charges now belong to Walmart.
They're worth...
not in the system. Wow.
They're worth $92 billion. I don't think they care.
I know, but our benefits program, the EBT, mm-hmm. our government is not paying for those sprees
right.
at all.
Because our benefits program runs as well as our health care program does.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm happy they're doing that, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, really? Someone should at least get a slap in the hand for going in there 78 times. So now it's completely okay?
This is our government you're talking about.
I know.
Giving somebody who's part of that government a slap on the hand?
No.
When are they going to start that?
I'm saying the people that are using their EBT cards.
Oh.
I mean, these guys just
didn't have that much money.
Everybody just got off scot-free with not so much as a, oop, you're in trouble. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, let's move on.
Because I know if I stole something, I didn't get in trouble. I went and stole again.
They'll figure out a way to make the richest 1% pay the taxes on it.
Ah, perfect.
Okay, well, before we start getting into that down that road, hello.
It's
okay.
MM doesn't listen anymore, so it doesn't matter.
I love this story. It made me cry when I read it. Bill sent this. Fresno, California.
Fresneck.
Yes. I wish we had like some kind of romantic flowery music for the background or whatever, but Max and LaVere Robinson. Actually, they were not strangers in the night.
L is for the way
that
you
would
look
probably have,
at
yeah.
me. O is for the only one I... This is background. You're supposed to be telling the story. V is very, very...
I can't talk over you.
Extra. Well, I'm doing it low.
At any rate, okay. Max and LaVere Robinson have the longest-running marriage on record. They believe that this is the longest running marriage that they can, you know, that there are records for.
Oh, I saw that one.
83 years they were married. 83
Unbelievable.
Years. They died within 3 days of each other. And they spent most of their lives together in Fresno. So there's peanut gallery says, I'm sorry. Yeah. They got
Fresno
married
was a fine city.
They got married in 1929.
They must have been. Yeah, they must have been young.
No, when Max died, he was 101, and LaVere died at 100.
So they were like 17 and 16 when they got married.
Yeah, they were very young.
Wow.
It was just very sweet. It's just her health started to fail. She wasn't doing well, and then but she said she was going to fight on because she didn't want to leave her husband alone. And then he had a fall and died suddenly at 101.
I can't even go there.
I know. But suddenly.
And she just said, oh, wow, and then died 3 days later. So.
Yes. How notebookish.
I know. It was such a sweet story.
It's a Hallmark card.
That is.
It's like, aww.
Here, come die with me.
MasterCard commercial, priceless.
Salt Lake City. Brian sent this one in.
Who's Brian?
I don't know who's Brian.
He's that guy who came out here.
No, he didn't. Remember?
He was going to come out here.
He was going to come out, but then life got in the way. So there's a new scam going about. I don't know. The story's out of Salt Lake City.
Does it involve EBT cards?
No. You'll get a phone call. You answer the phone call, and someone says that they are from such and such corporation that they are they're working with the courts in your county or whatever, and that there is a warrant out for your arrest.
Just send this much money.
Exactly. They're detailed about it. They say you need to go to court on such and such a date. You need to do this. You'll be liable for this. You're facing X number of days in jail, blah, blah, blah. Or if you want to, you can just pay the fine over the phone, and then I'll send you the paperwork. It'll be over. So people that
are paying the fine.
Some people are gullible enough to think, uh-oh, what did I do, and pay the fine.
People who think they might be in trouble.
The people, yes. Yes.
It's a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing they don't call you up and go, hello, my friend. I'm from Nigeria. I need to hide $25 million. Can you please put it in your bank account for me?
Right.
Send me $1,400, your bank account information, and your Social Security card number.
Well, apparently in Salt Lake City, there's one woman, Karen Van Camp. Karen Van Camp.
Band Camp?
Van Camp.
Oh, I thought it was Band Camp.
Okay,
I was
going to go,
that's
Van
what,
Camp. Whatever.
One day of Band Camp.
She got a call from this company, these people, that said they were working with the courts that she was being investigated for credit card fraud. She didn't know anything about this. She took the phone call. The first time, she declined to pay anything. She said, I will go and talk to someone at the court. She went to the sheriff's department and explained this. The sheriff's department said, we got nothing. So they set up a sting.
Nice.
And interestingly enough, what I find fascinating about this is that the people that claimed that they were working with the sheriff's department had...
Were working with the sheriff's department?
No, they have scrambling equipment or whatever on their computers on their end. Sure. That when you pick up, when you look at your phone, they've programmed their number to read out, you know, Salt Lake City Sheriff's Department or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, spoof something or other. That's what the... Peanut Gallery said, I did not know this. So, of course, she goes to the sheriff's department. They don't know anything about it. They set up the sting. And, yes, the phone call apparently comes from the sheriff's department. They were able to track it and catch this one particular person.
Well, they just let them do a charge and then see what bank account it goes into and then goes and gets them.
But apparently this is a new trend. It plays on your fear of possibly not knowing that you've done something wrong and now you're busted. And so, oh, I'll pay.
I'll pay them with a bad check.
Yeah. Give him a bad check.
Hey, do you guys take EBT cards? I got no limit today.
So the Sheriff's Department Union advises everyone to realize that if you are in trouble, we don't call you. We arrest you.
Awesome.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
I have tight dudes.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to the same old place that you laughed about. Shelly doesn't like that. Shelly, not a big fan of that. We've only been doing it to you for like 4 years.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of it.
And we don't do it all the time anymore.
Yeah,
true,
we don't do
God
it every
that.
Time. So, Shelly, we have a topic. Shelly's smoking her vape.
Shelly's vaping.
Wait. You know I have to start somewhere where I can... Wait.
Start at the end. Work your way forward.
Start at the end. Epic pause.
Shelly, it's the 12th freaking step.
I know. It's the 12th step. It's... Wait. The 11th one is thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with...
Yeah, we've done that
God
one.
As we understand him.
Yeah. The next one after that.
I can't remember. We carry... We carry the mess, and we have affairs.
That's it. Yeah, you got the gist of it.
Yes. We carry the message to other alcoholics. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to other alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
We can have affairs?
You can try.
Only after you've worked all 12 steps.
Well, I can try. I have worked all 12 steps.
Then you can have affairs. It says so in the book.
So... Now that we've determined...
As long as you practice the principles, which, now, of course, would mean you wouldn't be having affairs. Cause...
Now, when we talk about step 12, and there is carrying the message and sometimes carrying the mess. Because, you know, it's like the people that want to work step 12 when they're nowhere near step 12. I got 3 days. I'm really going to go help all my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to go out and save their buddies.
Yeah.
You ever had sponsors? Well, you've seen it, I'm sure. You guys have seen it in the program.
I have. It never fails to amuse me. That's what I like about this program. There's just parts of it that are just so freaking amusing.
I love the books because you can always find great stuff in the books. Now, Shelly, you have worked your 12th step. You work with newcomers.
Yes.
You are of a service.
Yes.
You do things.
Yes.
Have you had any sponsees that made step 12?
Yes, one.
All right. Well, no, that's the way it should be. That's how many God wants to have made it so far with you.
Yes, I have had one, and she works diligently. She tries to practice these principles in all her affairs. Strangely enough, though, her service work outside of the job she actually does...
She's a hooker?
No.
Is quite limited.
No, her service work seems to consist lately of getting me to sponsor people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She, you know, she tells people, oh, here, I got a great person for you to work with. I'll give you her number. I'm like, oh, no.
And all Shelly's got to do is drive 37 miles up the canyon.
Well, no, right now I don't have to drive that far, but it's just... and I'm happy to help. And the reality is that no matter how many times people suggest me as a sponsor, about 0.01% of the time, the person sticks around.
That's
so
it
doesn't it doesn't cost me anything to say, of course, and all it does is help my sobriety.
Well, and
so,
you're not far off. What did Bill W. say? I failed with my first half dozen prospects.
Right.
Now, Mark, you've sponsored... I know you don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many people have you sponsored in your 28 years?
No clue.
Now, how many people have you sponsored that actually did what you said?
A couple.
Yeah, you know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Now, a lot
I got one guy who did it right, and I know for a fact he did it right. He had 8.5 years, and he died, and he was sober. So you know what? I got one guy I know did it right.
Awesome. Now, and then on
rest
the flip,
rest of them are still to be determined.
I was going
to
say, on the flip side, how many, you know, got? Well, let me ask you this. Uh-huh. You'll get this right off the bat. How many guys have come and asked you to sponsor them, and you said something like, call me every day for a week, and then we'll see?
Most of them.
And then they couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
They couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
It happened with you, Sean?
Yeah. Call me and write one page on a surrender. Yeah, they're gone.
I have a new one right now that has a fire under her fanny, let me tell you.
Well, you've had two sponsees that I know of.
Yes.
that were like incredibly on fire.
Hit the ground running and did not stop. I had the one, though, dumped me because apparently I didn't have enough time for her. I mean, like, time to spend with her, which wasn't true. But at the time, she needed even more time than I had. So, and, right. and that's just what and I, what I told her was, you know what, you need to do what you need to do for your recovery. I totally understand. And then this, but the one I have now, I've met with her twice. She's dropping her fifth next week.
Wow.
And this all happened within 10 days.
Wow.
Because the fear is she's getting out of a facility soon, and both my concern and her fear is that this time she wants it to be different. And this time she wants it to be different. And the thing that she did not do before was she got out of facilities before was to complete, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to leave the facility with a some sort of foundation.
Bye, Peanut Gallery.
Bye.
We're losing one.
Happy Bye. Trails to you.
Oh, SWAT's coming in.
Yeah, no, nobody's hearing that.
I know, but the thing is, I'm so distracted now with all the movement going on. I can't even remember what I was saying. What am I saying? Do you know?
The girl that had slammed through all the things, and she was worried about because she's.
Oh yeah, this time she just wanted to be different. You know, she wanted to do something different this time, and the different thing was actually getting through the steps before she's got to leave the facility.
And you know what? The different thing is the thing that's probably going to save her. You know, it's like, try doing something different. Like what? Like working the steps. Oh, that's a novel idea.
If you like what you're getting.
I keep doing what you're doing. If you don't like what you're getting.
Do something else.
Yeah. Now, Mark, when you've had a number of people that made it through Step 12, yeah?
I've had a few.
And then do you notice sometimes that you'll get people through or you'll get them to a certain part of the steps and then for whatever reason they bail on you and go with someone else?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Conversely, you get someone that's been with another sponsor for a long time and they come to you and they're like, eh, I wasn't getting what I needed or whatever. And
like I said, I recently had a period of time where I had a couple people in a row who had 35 months sober and went out.
Wow.
Two of them back to back. 35 months sober, went out. Came back, asked me to sponsor them.
Beat up.
Yeah.
Tore up.
Tore up from the floor up and just, will you sponsor me? Yeah. Sure. Okay, here's where I was at with my other sponsor. Whoa.
Yeah. We're going to start you over right now.
Yeah. That's right. It's like the Do-Re-Mi song. Start at the very beginning.
Do-a-do.
Well, there are other ways to carry the message other than sponsoring, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Many other ways. One of my favorites, and actually I should start doing this again because circumstances are a little bit different at the library now and nobody knows where the hell anything is anyway. When I first got sober, for the first year and a half, I would buy, like every couple of weeks, I'd go and buy a dozen directories, meeting directories, and slip them in between the books on alcoholism and the stacks. And a number of times I saw people slip them in their pockets. And just because the thing is, our collection on addiction and alcoholism doesn't check out a lot. Mm-hmm. However, the books end up in odd places in the library because people are too embarrassed to check them out. They don't want people to see them with them, but they use them.
Shelley, what is the number two book stolen from the library?
Well, it used to be the Big Book. Now that's slipped down to like four or five. Yeah. It's but still one of the top the actual right now, and this is really sad. The number one most stolen book at the library is the Bible still.
Unbelievable.
Number two, the ARCO test manual for police officers.
What?
Yes. I kid you not. We have lost.
It's one of the most stolen books from the library?
We had to buy all new books this year. Because we usually have three or four, because they all disappeared. The other one, our third most stolen one, is the Thomas Guide. In this era of GPS, the Thomas Guide. I don't get it, but...
Wow.
It wasn't stolen, it was just lost.
It was just lost. Yeah. But anyway, I liked putting the directories out there because I knew people were using them. And I don't know what it is about me. I must have a sign or something, but... An invisible sign that only I can see. That I can't see. I'll be at work, and people will gravitate to me and ask me those hushed little questions. do you know where there are alcohol classes around here? You know.
Oh, those classes?
Yeah, oh, those classes. Oh, yeah. And I give them the address. Classes. You know, tell them when there's a meeting. Yeah. And they always come to me. They don't go anybody else.
They drive start that south, with a pop
drive
quiz.
South 4 blocks.
Yeah.
They start that class with a quiz. You might want to study up.
I can tell you.
From the library, you can drive south 4 blocks or east 4 blocks.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And if you go to 613.81, you can check out the textbook for those quizzes.
Awesome. Now, how about other methods? How about other ways of... Oh, well, let me ask you this. How about people that help other people and they're actually making money doing it? What is your feeling on that? Spreading the message or working with others while getting, for instance, we know people that do this very well, people that own like sober living houses.
Yeah.
They're definitely providing a service. They're definitely helping carry the message.
Yep.
They're also profiting. Any problem with that?
Nope.
Me neither. How about you, Shelly?
No, as long as they don't say they represent any particular 12-step fellowship, get down with their bad selves.
Recovery coaches?
God bless them. They should make more.
I don't think some of them need to make more.
They should make more.
I talked to a gal one time. I was sold her an extremely expensive bed. We're going to deliver it to Malibu. And she said something in the conversation that made me think that she might be in the program. I don't know what she said. You know, well, Easy Does It or Live and Let Live or something like that. And I said, are you happen to be a friend of Bill Dunham? She goes, oh, yes, I am. And I said, oh. And it came around to the conversation. I said, what do you do for a living? And she goes, well, I'm a recovery coach. And I'm like, oh, really? And I'm like, she lives in Malibu, right? And I'm like, and I go, well, what kind of people do you do? And she goes, mostly high-end people. And I'm like, oh, is there good money in that? She goes, yeah, I have one that's like $15,000 a week. And I'm like, I go, well, if you don't mind me asking, how long do you have sober? And she goes, 4 years. And I'm like, you're making $15,000 a week, and you got 4 years. And I'm like, I'm thinking Mark could be making $170,000 a week because he's got 28 years.
I'm available.
Yeah, and they do like high visibility. People.
Also, they sober coaches make a bit because it's a like on-call job all the time for a long time.
A lot of times she said she lives with people.
Yeah. It's so you have no life.
I'm okay with that.
She went
I could do that.
She went with some, and I can't say who it was, but she went with some musical personality, and she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, I went on tour with them. She goes, I went. And she goes, most trying time of my life. She goes, everybody's trying to give this person drugs. Everybody.
Yeah.
And she goes, and we have a big disclaimer that says, hey, you know, I do not guarantee anyone's sobriety. You know, and I'm
like a hockey goalie. I'm not going to stop all the shots.
Yeah, exactly. Can't stop everything. Now, how about some of the more basic things?
Well, here's my question. We talked about, you know, working all the steps before you get to step 12. But what about the guy who cleans the coffee pot after the meeting?
That's what I was going to say.
Still carrying the message, which in a strange way means he's skipping steps.
Being of service.
Yeah, being of service is carrying the message. Yeah. Makes it possible for the meeting to be there.
When I was new.
It's practicing what the principles they know.
When I was new, I used to clean ashtrays at the local
Alana
Club.
That was way back, wasn't it?
It was way back because they don't smoke in there anymore. They used to have that blue line. You'd go in, there'd be this haze across the entire room.
About chest high.
Yeah.
All you'd see were a bunch of legs and three-year-olds.
It was like ground fog.
Dude, have you ever seen ground fog?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see up to about the mid-shin, and then you see the guy's shoulders.
I used to love it because we had it in Cucamonga a lot.
Yeah.
When I was in Oregon, there was this place called the something-something pasture, and it was just this big grassy area. And we used to eat mushrooms and go out there, and there'd be ground fog, and you could look underneath the fog, and all you'd see would be legs running around. And if you looked above the fog, everyone looked like they were on a conveyor belt. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. Yeah. But enough about romancing doing mushrooms in the pasture.
Yeah. It was actually a clear day, but the mushrooms made it look like ground fog.
Then, of course, you got all the other things. You know, taking panels and running meetings, being secretary, treasurer, greeting person, coffee maker, the most important person besides myself at the meeting.
Yes. I saw some guy who thinks the newcomer is the most important person in the room.
I'm the most important person.
I am the most important person in the room.
Because if I'm not here, the rest of you don't matter.
Not a bit.
Remember that? With one of your buddies, the traveling cigar guys.
Yeah.
The guy's like, screw that. I'm the most important person here. Because if I'm not here, none of you matter.
Yep.
At least not to him.
Yep.
Now, Shelley, you've done a lot of meeting work.
Well, I sort of had it. Yes, that's how I was trained to do it. You know, for the first couple of years, if you go to a meeting, you take a commitment. End of story.
Come on, we got a Thursday night meeting. It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
I know. I have done all the jobs at that meeting. Sometimes I've done all the jobs simultaneously.
Uh-huh. I've done all the jobs at that meeting as well.
I have also.
I know. I think all three
when
of us
I had. When I had 7 years, same amount of time as Shelley, this guy I know, Matt, good friend of mine, lives down in the San Diego area now. They needed a coffee maker. Matt looks over. You know, now, coffee maker, generally speaking, given to newer folks. And Matt said, I want to make sure the coffee gets done and done right.
And it's good.
And this was back. It was one of those big silver can things because that meeting was big at the time. And the closest place to get water was about 75 yards away. So you'd have to carry this 115 gallons of water across and so I told him, I said, if you make me coffee maker, you better be prepared for what's coming. And I had a coffee house that was right next to my store. It was called Beans and Leaves. They donated a pound of coffee a week. Haitian Blue Voodoo. And I went and I bought a grinder. We ground coffee fresh. We made fresh coffee every time. And, man, that meeting was rocking.
So... how old were you in recovery when you broke the traditions there?
Why did I break the traditions?
You got an outside entity to donate something to the meeting.
They donated it to me, and I donated it to the meeting.
There you go.
Semantics.
Loophole.
Yeah, you know, they donated it to me.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Well, I would have you know that I've had people from Starbucks on occasion give me a pound of coffee, and I've taken it over to the meeting. But I took it. I could have brought it home and made coffee with it here.
And the meeting was autonomous. They could do what they wanted.
That's right. Now.
They could secretly do what they wanted.
That's right.
That's a Miley Cyrus thing. We can do what we want.
Okay, anyway. How do you know that? Where are we going with this?
So, Shelley, what are your final words on step 12?
Well, we didn't even talk about the last part.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about practicing our principles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Practice these principles in all your affairs, Shelley.
I don't have any affairs. I don't have time to have an affair between work and choir and church and meetings and sponsees and Fish World and hanging out on Facebook and my audiobooks and reading books and crocheting. Oh, yeah, Bruce, too. I forgot about him.
She's hooked up with, like, three guys in the choral and the choir.
No.
The silver foxes in the choir.
No.
Banging the bandstand.
Now, here's the interesting thing. For a brief...
the entire bass section.
For an ever so brief time period, I was in the choir, but she claims to have never hooked up with anybody in the choir.
You weren't there long enough.
That's true. But I only let you sing one time, perform one time with us, and then I kicked you out because you cussed in church.
I didn't mean to.
Well, he didn't mean to.
He lost his place in the music. He's got, you know, the perky little polyester robe on. He's thinking he's all that. And he joined to support me, which was very sweet. But Bruce wants to sing all the parts simultaneously. but he gamely hung in there, and he goes for his first performance. I was all excited. Mom came. It was very, very, very big morning. And he immediately loses his place in the music and says, shit, in church, and the choir is mic'd. And he said that
nice.
He's flipping back and forth with the pages, and I just started giggling.
You
I'm
know
like,
the way,
and then I lost my place.
You know the way choir stuff goes. There's like the first stanza is 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's like, you know, we're only doing like 1, 3, and 5 or something, and suddenly everyone is singing something other than what I'm singing. I'm like, shit. And I didn't like scream it out.
He didn't scream it.
I
but
went
the,
shit.
But the
I'm
tenor...
sure all the choirs heard me.
But the tenor mic is like right in front of us.
Bruce.
And then I started giggling. I lost my place. I was like, okay, that's it. You can't be a choir.
Okay, Mark. Yeah. Principles in all your affairs.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That's what I'm asking you.
I think it's that we practice the steps in all parts of our lives, because eventually we find out that it's not about working the steps to deal with our drug or alcohol addiction, that it is working the steps for the purpose of living every facet of our lives.
That would have been great final words.
Okay. Shelly, it was a lot of music. Bye.
The most helpful thing that I have found in terms of working, practicing the principles of my affairs is the part in the big book that talks about how we wouldn't treat sick people this way. About the person who has cancer, nobody's mad at him, blah, blah, but he's got cancer. We're helpful, right? Because in the real world, at work, I have, and out in the wide world, I have situations with people that where normally or previously, I would have reacted very differently. And I've sort of learned to apply that to everyone that I'm having trouble with. And how would I treat a sick person? How, and it specifically says in the book, how can we be helpful to that person? And I find a way to be helpful to them. And sometimes that means letting them fail all by themselves. But most of the time, and that works really well for me, actually, in terms of practicing the principles, because when I'm calmed down and I don't have to worry about all the going on over my head, then I react a lot better.
I do that at work all the time. I'll get someone call back, having a problem with my mattress. Okay, we'll fix that. You know, my guys for a long time, they'd be like, "What, dude, you know, this person's exchanged their mattress three times." I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? It's not working for him. And you know what? If I had a mattress and I couldn't sleep on it, I'd be bummed if I wasn't able to do something about it. And you know what? That's why my store is rocking Yelp ratings. I'm convinced that that's why. And James used to, my buddy used to tell me, he'd be like, dude, don't do that. Don't do that. You're charging them the 20% restocking fee. I've never charged that in the entire time I've had this store. But you know what?
What?
You can't buy good ratings. You can only get good ratings on Yelp by being a good person. And
can't spend them either, by the way.
I've used that all the – yeah, well, yeah, but you know what? Let me tell you.
Brings in more money, though.
Last Saturday, I had 10 customers, 9 of them from Yelp. I closed 9 of them, and they were all from Yelp. And then the other guy came back and bought me. So I'm able to use that actually a lot as well. So, Shelly, what's your final words on step 12?
Touchdown, touchdown, do it again. Hey, you made it. You hit the goal. End game. Now all you got to do is the maintenance, 10, 11, 12, and 1, 2, 3 in the morning.
Now all we got to, now all we have to look forward to is the 13th step.
Next week.
Yeah, don't think we're not going to do that.
No, seriously, the step 12.
Peanut Gallery.
That was interesting.
Peanut Gallery just thought they were getting shot. There was quite a actually, it's funny because it didn't sound like a firecracker.
No, it sure didn't.
Sounded like a gun.
Sounded like a gunshot.
That was a gun.
Yeah.
That's highly unusual.
Laguna Beach, California. Gunshot.
Anyway, where was I? Oh, the 12 step. seriously, this is the step that will help keep you sober and help keep you in the work. Because we have to give it away in order to keep it. And
there
now
you
I'm
go.
Done.
Mark?
Yeah?
What are your final words?
As my good friend Bill always said, we carry the message. We don't deliver it.
Oh. What I would say for step 12 is we practice these principles in all our affairs. We carry the message as best we can, but you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Shelly. No, Mark.
What?
Who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can just find publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a sober living or a recovery center or somewhere where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce. He'll send you copies, hard copies, to strew about the facility. If you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce. He'll give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Sweet. Now, Shelly, people are listening to the show.
Thank you. Anyway, that you hear the show. Yeah, I'm looking for my gun. Anyway, you listen to the show. We appreciate that. But if you could log into our website, recovery101.net, and scroll down, click on one of the shows. If you then click like or permalink, if you are a member of Podomatic, you've been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our numbers. If you're not, you will have an opportunity to join. It is free.
And fun.
And you can follow us. That will get you automatic updates of when we post the shows. You can like old shows, leave topics and comments and topic suggestions. And you can put us on your playlist for all your hot party needs.
I have to point out, you know, moments ago, we heard what really sounded like a gunshot.
That was a gunshot.
And I have a 54 Ford, which is a big hunk of metal.
Yeah.
And this isn't like, you know, the new kind of vehicles. This is a bunch of old steel. And the peanut gallery is moved up right next to the front of that because I'm pretty sure a gunshot wouldn't go through that.
Yeah.
So just had to throw that out there. We have
of course, sitting exposed.
We have a email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got, if you're Facebook friendly, you can go like our Facebook page, the Facebook fan page. Look up Recovery 101 Radio Show. You should be able to find it. If you want to remain anonymous on Facebook but you would like to talk to people about recovery, you can go to the Recovery 101 Radio group. It's a closed group. You ask to be a member, and we will let you. You can leave topics and show suggestions there as well. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
Forever Amber.
Forever Amber. Everybody, that's 27 Tears Productions. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Evil.